I speak to you in God's holy name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. And Jesus answered the traveler, "Whoever puts a hand to the plow but keeps looking back is unfit for the reign of God." Chapter 9, verse 64. That reminds me a lot of what was said in the book of Genesis, where Lot's wife kept looking back and turned to a pillar of salt. And it's a reminder that we follow a loving God. Jesus proclaimed to us and proclaims to us that God is love, and that we are in a dynamic life and a journey. And if we keep looking back to another time, we may not be fit as we move forward with God in this life dynamic journey. I don't know how many of you here have ever had to plow a field. I remember once when I was a boy living on the farm in Quebec, we had a horse. Not a great horse, but it was a horse. Those of you who are ranchers know great horses. This was a dangerous horse. It didn't like to be ridden. It bucked me off and almost stomped me. It got shade one time. Dad had a plow with a long whipple tree, and then you held the plow and plowed along. And the horse bucked. Dad got caught up in the whipple tree, or whatever you call that long rein, and it dragged him. And he just had a pocket knife, and he cut the cord just as he was heading for rocks. So that horse was dangerous. But I don't remember if they sent it to the glue factory or not. But I do know that he became afraid of that horse, and soon it left our property. But if you ever tried to plow, and you tried to plow a straight furrow, for sure you know you can't look back and plow the furrow. It'll go all over the place, and the plow will come out of the ground, and so on. And Jesus is saying we're supposed to make a straight path by looking ahead. And we have a history, but we move forward, and we are called to move forward in love. Now, I want you to pretend you're now here instead of in Agassiz, you're in Galatia. And the Apostle Paul has walked in the door, and he's here to visit us. And Paul is quite a character. He's a strong guy, and strong because he was a strongly committed Jew and had this revelation that he should stop doing what he was doing. We have to remember that before he found Jesus Christ and became an apostle of Christ, he was known as Saul. And if you read carefully in the scripture, even though it's not talked about too often, he actually engineered the death of the first Christian martyr, Stephen, having him killed. So the Christian church knew that this guy had been at one time a very strong persecutor of the Christian church and had to learn to trust this guy. But Paul himself was pretty strong because he must have encountered a lot of Christians who were from the Jerusalem church who were saying, "Look, you know, you're not really one of us. We don't know if we can trust you. When you were out there, you killed Stephen and you persecuted us, and now you're trying to form churches and plant churches around the Mediterranean. How do we trust you?" But he was strong-willed, and he was able to sort of shed that off and say, "Look, I've seen the light. I am now a follower of Jesus. And I must go forward in love. But so must you." And he walks into this little church in Galatia. Be about 10, 15 people probably. And they all had been influenced, even though some were Gentiles, meaning not Jewish, had been influenced by those who said, "You, if you're going to be really in this Christian way, you've got to pick up all those Jewish habits that you never knew about, including circumcision. Well, you can imagine what consternation that would be. And Paul comes into this middle of this and says, wait a minute. We are now Christians and we are a people of love. We are a people of inclusion and we are moving forward. A similar message to what we have from Jesus. When the travelers talked to him and he was saying, look, I believe in God is inclusive and loves all. We would be shocked and hard-pressed to hear Paul tell us this if we'd been somehow in the belief that we are to have Jewish practice. Paul says, no, we've got beyond that. We are now an inclusive group. And we have to think bigger than we used to think. Not narrow. The same thing when Jesus went to the Samaritan town. See, the Samaritans were despised by the Jews, but the Samaritans also didn't like the Jews. Their practice was very similar. Their scripture was very similar, but they did not accept, the Samaritans did not accept that the temple was central to their faith. They had their own holy city, and they did not accept Jerusalem. And so they would be welcoming to Jesus, but when they heard he was going on down to Jerusalem, they realized that we don't take that. It's almost like today you meet this great Muslim, and you really feel a kinship with this Muslim. But all of a sudden you say, well, we're going to make a pilgrimage, and we're not going to go near Mecca. And the Muslims say, well, wait a minute, I thought we were friends. These divisions that often spring up. We hear it here in the valley. The other day, somebody was talking, and I've mentioned this before, was mentioning to me, well, you know, I'm a Christian and he's a Roman Catholic. And I went crazy. I just exploded. I'd had enough. It must have been a long day. And I finally said, you realize that if it was not for the Roman Catholic Church, you would not have had your Bible to misquote all the time. We're all Christians. We all follow Jesus. But Jesus' message is, we have to get bigger than that. We have to have a new understanding that we are the people of the new covenant of love. And get bigger. This vote that happened in the United Kingdom the other day showed narrowness won over logic. Emotions ran over common sense, in my opinion. We are in a new world. We have one planet, and we are one family on this planet. And we have to get beyond our tribalism. If we don't, it'll be the destruction of us all. And we are not doing the will of God. Because God calls us to be stewards of creation, not destroyers. That's my thought. The idea of love is that we have a big vision. We are called to be big. So then we come to what's really in the essence of what is Paul saying here. And he says it in many places in his writings. Are you people with a strong faith or a weak faith? And if Paul came in the door today, he'd be challenging us to say, is your faith strong or is it weak? And what would be Paul's definition of strong and weak? That's very interesting. If you read carefully Paul's epistles, a strong faith is one that is inclusive of many. He included Jews, but he included Gentiles. That translates for me today that all who name God are loved by God. And a weak faith is one that takes a narrow view, a literal view, that if you're not doing X, Y, and Z, then you're not a part of us. And that's a weak faith. that you've turned the scripture into a recipe book instead of a book of wisdom and guidance and philosophical comfort. So Paul would call fundamentalists weak, and would call people like we are striving to be as the modern Anglican Church strong. That God is progressive, that the Holy Spirit is alive, and that we are on a journey forward with God. So the challenge for me to share today for you and for myself is my faith strong or is my faith weak? If it's strong, you realize that God is a God of love for all of God's creation, and that all of God's people are included in God's love, and that we have a progressive forward understanding that we are from a community of caring for one another. If we have a weak faith, then we have a narrow view that everything is judged and that sort of somehow God is a great axe who's chopping off here, chopping off there, chopping off there. But the Jesus vision, amplified by Paul, is that we are to be a more inclusive, caring people. And so I pray today as we come into Canada Day and the modern Canada where we live, which is a very diverse and changing nation. It's a multifaceted, multicultural nation. And that we are Christians in the midst of this, Anglican Christians, that we hold to a broad vision of strength, of our own faithfulness to God, and that we not allow the narrow forces that seem to be unleashed in the world today to contaminate our vision of our faith. As the broad people of God, inclusive people of God, a loving people of God. And I pray as we receive the sacrament, the sign of Jesus alive within us, present with us, really alive, that we live this aliveness in the world around us. We have boundaries, we have morality, but we have inclusion and we have love. And it's finding that balance in all that we do as the redeemed people of God. May God bless us all on our challenging journey. Amen.